It's time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee, the newest addition to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming live on Hoovy.tv on this May 14th, 2022. I'm Mike Rickard, the Hapless Hack, and of course, we've got a new name to the show. It's Caddy Hack. You know, you got Caddy Shack, we got Caddy Hack. We got my main man, Oscar the Big O Garner III. He'll help us through the next hour. We'll bring you the entire world of the PGA Champions, LPGA Collegiate and High School in the Sunshine State. And we have a lot of fun each and every Saturday. And I'm looking forward to today's show. We've got quite a range of, let's just say, demographics. We got a youth movement to my far left. We're gonna meet with the... And we've already had a conversation with the first tee, but this is the first tee of St. Pete. Rick Waltman and his bodyguards came down. Let's go over the PGA leaderboard. And I'll tell you what, we are a week away from the PGA Championship in Tulsa at Southern Hills. And the drama just continues. If you've been following the game of golf, and I'm a golf channel junkie, of course, everyone knows the mistakes that Lefty made, and we live in a forgiving society, so I'm certain that sometime he'll be back in the throes, and it's just unfortunate, you know, his opinion shouldn't have been voiced the way it was regarding the Saudi tour. That's a show for an entire conversation that I'm not going to dive into today, but we'll talk a little bit about that. And what's taking place right now, though, is the Byron Nelson Classic. 56 years the Byron Nelson Classic has been around, and they just used to love Byron. They'd come off the course, and he held court until his 80s. He'd be waiting out there in Fort Worth, and I tell you what, it's one of those steeped in tradition, and you've got some of the world's top tens there as they warm up to go a couple hours north to Tulsa next Saturday for the PGA Championship at the always steamy, sultry Southern Hills. And on that leaderboard right now, you've got Ryan Palmer. They're just destroying this course, by the way. The conditions are superb. Ryan Palmer is a 15-under. David Skins, 15-under. And Sebastian Munoz, who shot a 60 on Thursday, is in third. Charles Schwartzel, he's got a green jacket. He's in fourth. I love this guy, Jordan Spieth. I'd love to see him win in his home state. He's got his game turned around. Hideki Matsuyama, he's got a green jacket. He's sitting in ninth. And Justin Thomas, some of the notables, sitting at 20th. And as I said, they're
who's at 22?
Who's at 22?
Yeah, Scheffler at 20 as well. Right?
Lindsay.
Minus 9.
Oh, I might want to turn your mic on.
You might want to.
I just don't interrupt me when I'm in top 10 because my ADD, age deficit disorder, kicks in. And he's a young buck, you know, and he doesn't appreciate that. And attention disorder. And by the way, last week he did a superb job. He was out at the fundraiser for Gary Sermons, and it was the Children's Miracle Fund. You did a superb job. I got an update from Gary. They generated $6,300 for that young man to go on his Alaskan cruise with his family, and I think that's fabulous. All of the East Bay staff, thank you very much for your time and support. And there was a lot of grub. You didn't stick around for more of it, much of it, but a lot of sponsors too. So it was a great event.
No, it was a good community. And then the target was 5,000, so they blew past it by 1,300. And I mean, when you have a layout like that, I mean, it was crazy. I didn't even get to the shotgun, but they had everybody pulling up. Everybody was contributing. They had good contests out there, and it was a good environment.
What they should have done has had a celebrity caddy participation, and had the Big O, who was a caddy at Oakland Hills, the Big O, you could have showed those youngsters some of your skills.
I could have read a putt or two.
Yeah, you could have read a putt or two or made a putt or two. Hey, by the way, we're archived on Hoovy.tv. Of course, those are our partners in Orlando. And our weekly on the tee golf report from Gary Sermons and myself, we're going to start to collaborate on that. We'll be launched next week. And, of course, we're streaming live on our RadioSaintPete.com and our flagship. Let's talk about that. Our stations you're hearing us on right now, WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Tampa Clearwater, St. Pete, WZHR AM 104.3 FM, and WDCF AM 1350 up there in Zephyr Hills, and WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400 all the way to Plant. And that's a nice range. And I'm working on Fort Myers and Orlando as we speak. Hey, Champions Tour is in Alabama at the Tradition. Some more drama. My man who lives in Clearwater, JD, John Daly, he was actually in the hunt. Steve Stricker's on top right now. There's only five majors in there are five majors. Not only there's five majors on the Champions Tour, and this is one of them. And that course is steeped in tradition. And Steve Stricker, who's been battling a little illness, he sits on top at 11 under. Padraig Harrington, 9 under. The Big Easy, Ernie Els at 8. I love these events because we had one in Des Moines, one to every year, and was heavily involved in. Miguel Angel Jimenez, all household names for guys our age. And it's fun to see him still getting out there. And I don't care what their bodies look like. These guys can still putt and chip. And JD was 8 under with a number 13. He gets a double. And then he doubles 18. So he's four back. And I mean, he's four under, which for him recently is a dang good round of golf after two rounds. And then he doesn't sign his scorecard. He's DQ'd. First time he's been DQ'd. He's been DQ'd for other antics in the past. First time he's ever been DQ'd on the Champions for not signing his golf card. Another JD story.
You want to hear Oakland Hill story on that?
On JD?
No, not on JD, on signing scorecards.
Absolutely.
Caddying in our four-day invitational, right? This is the biggest tournament we have in the entire summer. First week of August.
Few Benjamin Franklins passing palms there?
A few. Not ones that I can shout out about. The IRS might be calling me. But I was out there. I think we went 3-under, 4-under, 2-under. And the last day, we were tied all the way through. We had a playoff. We go into the playoff, and we win on the second hole. We're so hyped. They go straight to the bar. Of course, I'm not allowed in the clubhouse. They go straight to the bar. I get to hand in the scorecard, everything, turn it in, come back for the next day for the Highlander.
You handed in the scorecard?
I had to hand in the scorecard.
This is not going
well. I had to hand in the scorecard. I'm worried about getting paid. I'm not worried about anything else.
You're thinking about the do-re-mi because you guys just won.
So I'm about to head home. I get back for the Highlander for the next day because that's where the hacks who didn't make it, who didn't, you know, they get to play. Come back. I check the leaderboard. DQ. I call my guys. I'm like, where are we at? Because that's the ceremony day, the same thing. Yeah, man, what happened with the scorecard? They are chewing me out because apparently that was my job, which it isn't. But, yeah, a little Oakland.
Well, you didn't play, so obviously you don't have the responsibility of signing. But I assume that they figured you would look, pay attention to detail. But you're a young kid.
Yeah, I was 15, you know.
Oh, and they chastised you?
It's my second summer out there.
Sent your pops out there. Hey, by the way, a couple of things on the local level. Over at USF, they had a junior, and he was the AAC, American Athletic Conference Player of the Year. Albion Bergstrom from Sweden. He's the only fifth player in the program to attain that award, and that's cool. We're going to start getting a lot of the local collegiate and high school kids on the show as well. Did you hear me talking about Charles Barkley last week?
No.
And I'll be cautious since we have a young man here, but I love Charles Barkley. A lot of people think he's a clown, but he's a lot brighter than he comes across. He came out and said that Tiger Woods, and he's friends with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, he said, hanging out with Tiger Woods is no fun. He says everybody's just tense all the time. He said he's just so focused. He said it's no fun. And this is the book that's coming out. And then he said, now, Lefty, you have a riot. He corrected, Sir Charles' swing when they played last year.
And Lefty fixed his swing?
He fixed his swing. I don't know if you saw that. It was one of those, for TV events. Yeah. And Lefty fixed his swing.
Got rid of the hitch, huh?
And those two, but they both like to gamble, so maybe there's something there. But I was thinking, you know, Tiger Woods, who I revere for what he's done in the game of golf, who's he remind you of? Michael Jordan.
That's exactly what I was about to
completely
say.
Completely focused. Everybody is constantly on edge of, are they doing things right? Because they're perfectionists. Now, is that right? Here's what Sir Charles said. Get over yourself. You're just a professional golfer. Enjoy life. Only Sir Charles would say that. And Tiger would accept it and not be upset at him. So I thought that was
that's wild, considering him and MJ were best buddies, apparently. When they were playing, they always used to hang. I guess when it's basketball, it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
for him.
When he's inside the lines, he's a different cat.
Yeah,
but he's pretty intense outside. I just got done reading his book as well. And then, I don't know if you're following this whole Saudi Arabia versus the PGA. You know, it's a political football. It's you know, if you want to talk freedom of business, I can see Greg Norman's position. But I'm not a Norman fan. He's a superb businessman. He has an enormous ego, but he's an egomaniac. And he came out, and he didn't do himself any good. Several of the pundits in golf are kind of getting on his side now, just from the perspective that Tim Fincham, the commissioner, should not be able to have that much clout and say, you can't go play in this event. Because you're individual corporations, each one of us, you know, in the world of golf.
Yeah.
And he's taking that clout of the PGA. Some guys are on his side, some are, you know, debating it. But the economic impact for me personally, and it just came out that Lefty had a $40 million gambling debt. And that was audited. This isn't speculation, $40 million. And this is when he was really rocking and rolling hard. He was making $40 million a year. And however, this guy broke it down after taxes. He lives in California, so you take the California tax, you take the overhead of Amy and his kids and his team. You know, Caddy gets 10%. He said he's about breaking even with a $10 million a year gambling habit. So he loves this opportunity because they give you $2 million and you could finish dead last just for showing up in Dubai. It's ridiculous. Five of these events, there's eight events, five of these events that they're proposing are in the U.S. And so things are starting to, you know, some of the political and the ridiculousness of Saudi Arabia, and that's for Fox News, that's not for me. The reality of it is, it is an atrocity. And somebody brought it to his attention, and here's what he said. And they were discussing the murder of one of the journalists. And he says, we all make mistakes in life. This is to a room full of reporters. I'm talking, could you bury yourself any further, shark? Not a fan. I don't care if that thing folds. It won't, because of the greed and the egos of the people behind it. But yeah, and that's the story. Now, I've got all that behind me. Oh, one more. When I have my show up north, I always, if people disrespected the good old red, white, and blue, and they're Euros. I had two pros in me, and I was kind of I've always been the hack and the clown. So I would come up with nicknames for them. Sergio Garcia. And Gary Sermons and I talked about it the other day, 1,000%. He has whined since he came on the tour. He whined that there was preferential treatment for Tiger. How's there preferential treatment? It's the same track that you're playing. The hole's the same size. You're on the same tee box, you little Spaniard whiner. So I called him, and it goes on and on and on. And he showed his ugly head again just about 3 weeks ago when he put one into the weeds. And people make mistakes, and one of the marshals didn't get over there, you know, hurriedly, and they put him on the clock, and they proved that they were wrong. 3 minutes to find your ball. Well, they penalized him, and he went off. And he's one of the guys in the middle of this mix about going to Saudi Arabia, and he said, hey, I can't wait to get off this tour. This tour that has made him millions of dollars. So he's back to Sergio Gurlio Garcia. And my other unfavorite guy was Colin Ballin Montgomery. Those guys always complained and cried. And anyway, the rest of it's all positive. Can't wait for the PGA Championship next week. I've got two guys calling in from Tulsa next week as well. But now it's time for a little more positive conversation, something that is near and dear to my heart, near and dear to yours. And obviously, these gentlemen have the passion to be participating. From there, I'll let Oscar Garner, the third caddy hack show, continue.
So if you were listening, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was hosting with my friend Alex. We interviewed James Poulter, who is the CEO of First Tee Clearwater. We had a chance to have a good conversation with him, learned about their program. And of course, if you guys who've been listening know anything about my background, golf was the reason that I was able to go to school. It was the reason why I'm down here in Florida right now. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have a college education. So learning the disciplines and the game from a culture perspective growing up, you know, I got people that I grew up with who are still in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I still call those guys. I still talk to them. They're still in the same place. Golf helped me get here. So, like you said, this is near dear to our heart. Having the opportunity to talk to First Tee was huge, and we thought we would continue that by having Rick Waltman down here from First Tee St. Pete. He's going to talk about his program, how it differs. You guys can get a little bit more color into the differences in the two chapters. We get to a little bit more color in the differences between the two chapters. You guys can get more insight on the organization as a whole. But I'm gonna let Rick do a little bit of intro. Rick, you want to introduce yourself, who you've brought with you, and your role in the organization?
Sure, Oscar. My name's Rick Waltman. I'm the executive director of the First Tee of St. Petersburg, and I brought Mr. Bill Darling with me. He's our outreach director. He's a board member and has been with me for over 15 years, bringing youth to our program, specifically outreach children, kids that would not normally have an opportunity. And then to the right of me here, we have Keyshawn Reedy, who is one of our junior golfers that has been coming into our program, has been golfing with us for about 3 years now. Keyshawn has come through our outreach program, and he visits the First Tee facility 6 days a week. He comes after school with our after-school program, and things are going well here at the First Tee.
You introduced Keyshawn, but I want to know his golf name. His golf name is
Keyshawn. Tell him what your golf name is.
PGA.
Why they call you PGA, Keyshawn?
Because when I dress up, I look professional.
Okay, you're a professional player. Yeah. When you look good, you play good, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, Keyshawn started showing up on Saturdays with his khaki pants on, his collar shirt, and his hat on.
My man.
Yeah, and I asked him, I said, what got into you? He says, well, I started watching golf on TV a little bit, and I want to be PGA. And that's how that nickname came about. So every chance he gets, he puts on his PGA golf clothes, and he shows up looking good.
Well, you look great today, PGA. Thanks for coming down, young man.
And that's beautiful. That gives us a chance to, I mean, you guys can hear the impact right there. There's some kids out here who would, I mean, watching golf on the weekend, and watching golf, period, on TV, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that these kids can get interactive with. You got any favorite golfers right now? Who you like out there?
Tiger Woods, John Daly, and
Brittany?
Yeah, Brittany.
Lincecum.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, man.
He's come from the same club.
I was going to say. You can watch golf with me anytime, young PGA, anytime, and give me tips. Because have you guys ever seen the movie Billy Madison?
Yeah.
Well, I've been thinking about it. Maybe I should get back to First Tee and start from the beginning, because my game is horrible. And I can get tips from PGA here.
He'll definitely clean you up gear-wise.
It wouldn't take much.
But Rick, if you could give us some background, you're the founder of First Tee St. Pete. Talk a little bit about the history there.
Yeah, First Tee of St. Pete, we came to become a chapter in 2005, so it's been quite a few years. What had happened is I was the PGA golf professional for the City of St. Petersburg golf courses, and the First Tee reached out to me and said, would you guys consider being a chapter of the First Tee? And at that time, I really wasn't aware of what a First Tee was. And I went out to a national meeting out in California, and I saw what it was about, and it interested me a lot. It was really about bringing kids into the game of golf that would not normally have an opportunity to play. So I figured at that time that every major city was going to have a First Tee chapter. And so I came back to St. Pete and I said, we got to get this going. And we did. It took us a few months, because to form a 501(c), it takes a little while. But we got it up, we got it running. and we've been running strong ever since. We just built a mentoring center 3 years ago at Twin Brooks Golf Course on 3800 22nd Avenue South, and that's where we do most of our programming and 100% of our outreach programs out there.
So you dropped a lot of things out there, and I want people to get a full picture of what First Tee is from a national perspective, and of course, difference between, because we had Clearwater on, difference between Clearwater and St. Pete. So they're nationally based out of California. Where is that exactly?
Well, the First Tee is a national program, and there's about 150 chapters worldwide, not just in the United States. So we're fortunate to have a chapter here in St. Pete. There's one in Tampa. There's also one in Sarasota and Clearwater. So you could see major cities hosting and having First Tee chapters.
Where are we internationally?
We're overseas in Asia. There's several overseas First Tee chapters.
Wow. So that's I mean, the reach doesn't get much further than that. So you talked about the mentoring center. Of course, when I had Clearwater on, they run theirs more like an academy, like a school. You guys more have the mentoring. We have, I don't know if you mentioned this just yet, I don't want to steal any thunder, but you have the after-school program, and then you have the summer program, year-round programming. Can you go a little bit deeper into the programming from what they're doing in the school year, what's the summer looking like, you know, from end to end, what's that look like?
Sure, Oscar. Our program does go year-round. So right now we're finishing up on the in-school programming. What we do there is there's three main schools that we work with. One is Academy Prep, Mount Moriah, and Mount Zion. Those are all three inner-city schools. And what we do is we introduce all the children at those schools to the game of golf. And the kids that show a interest in the game, we invite them to come to our after-school program, which runs from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And what we do is we'll pick the kids up, we'll bring them in, we'll feed them some healthy snacks. They'll have a little bit of rec time, and then we go right into our academic component. It's homework. We have tutors there for the kids, and we work with them. Yeah. And to stay in the program, you must maintain a 3.0 GPA. And I'm proud to say 100% of our kids are doing that. And PGA right here, he's a 4.0 guy.
My man again. Yeah. I'm hired. You know what? You're fired. You're done.
He's taking my spot. PGA's, for sure.
PGA's taking your spot.
I'm toast.
You're listening on the tee down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole, set right across from Tropicana Field, and we're blessed to have Bill Darling and Rick Waltman and PGA Keyshawn. How old are you, young man?
11.
11 going on 21.
Man.
He's right behind you. You're 23.
I'm shaking. This kid's like this, man.
you have anybody listening? Because we say this. You'll be able to listen to this later on. You want to do a shout-out to at home or anybody?
I want to shout-out First Tee and my mom.
Good job on the mom.
How about my Kari?
My Kari.
My Kari's nickname's John Daly.
Yeah. Well, we got to get Makari up to Clearwater Country Club. Yeah. JD, you know all this.
Oh, yeah.
He plays there every Friday.
Yeah. Makari's swing looks just like John Daly's swing.
That's really?
How, that's how he got his nickname.
Yeah. Well, with your connections, Rick, you got to get
him
up
yeah.
there.
There's no doubt.
He's there on Fridays. Just call the guys. You know the guys up there. And I'm sure that he loves stuff like that. Makari, get a chance to meet him.
Yeah.
You go along too, PJ. Telling me you want a round up there at Clearwater.
That sounds like a plan.
I have a question with you for you. So you were a pro for the city?
Yeah, I was a PGA teaching pro for the city of St. Petersburg.
Okay, so that's basically how you knew Ken Betts.
Yeah.
Did you know Jeff Hollis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hollis went to Western Kentucky where I went.
Right.
And I didn't realize that we were there at the same time, didn't know each other. I was a track guy. You know, and we were just slubs, and then you had the golfers, they had all the girls around them, and I think Hollis was one of those guys.
Yeah, I was the teaching pro from 94 to 2005, so that's how I got into golf, and I just had a special interest in teaching the kids, and especially the kids that would not normally have a chance to play.
Well, God bless you on the grade point average, maintenance, the study. I mean, that's the motivation so they can continue the great game of golf. And of course, we know what Tiger Woods has done with his foundation with that same platform. Let's talk to Bill Darling here a little bit and see how he got involved in his participation. And you're on the board, and you're in the outreach program. Tell the audience a little bit about your background and how you, in fact, got involved in First Tee. What motivated you?
What motivated me? Rick Walton. Rick Walton, after a class of 16, 17 years ago, he indicated to me that he would like to bring more minorities into the program and check to see if I would volunteer to recruit. And I had no plan to do it, but I did. And I went out into the neighborhood, of course, and the churches, the different clubs, organizations, to recruit. And what we did, we provide scholarships for those parents who were not able to afford the full cost of the program. And we were able to get a lot of interest in the program. So that's how I actually got started. Now,
Sixteen years.
In addition to recruiting, I also did some instructions too. But the main thing is that I wanted to recruit as many minorities into the program as we possibly could, which we did. And now with the after school program that we have now, it is a big advantage or a big bonus for a lot of the families.
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely. So that's working out real well. The other thing is that the after-school meals or snacks that the program provides, the kids can come in before they do the tutoring, and they're free to go into the kitchen and fix sandwiches.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Healthy snacks.
This program is saving a lot of children, actually.
Healthy sandwiches is what they're getting.
Well, this program with the education and with the diet and the opportunity, to, you know, they're hungry.
Yeah.
And then go out and get themselves involved in something that'll keep them focused and passion is amazing. I do have one question on the side.
Mm-hmm.
You work with a lot of kids mentoring with their golf. Would you ever consider a 65-year-old dude that doesn't have any game? Maybe I could meet you, Bill. You know, nobody around, so you wouldn't embarrass yourself working with a schlub like me.
Of course, we'll get you riding there with Rick.
Rick didn't commit yet.
Invite him to your Tuesday game.
Yeah, if you haven't committed yet, he sure as heck not going to get on board to work with me. Well, I applaud you. I applaud you, Bill, for your participation.
Yeah,
it's a
great program.
Involvement.
And one thing that I would like to say here is that we need all of the financial support that we can possibly get. So
corporate St. Pete and Tampa. And at the national level, they have plenty of support. But you guys are in the trenches down here, where you've got to pay for the obviously the time, and you got to pay for the snacks,
course access, range balls.
Yeah, I mean,
tutors
goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a big expense, and so those listeners out there, they can provide any kind of support. Rick, give them the address.
How they get a hold of you?
Well, we're located at 3800 22nd Avenue South. You could stop by anytime and take a tour of the mentoring.
You're right here in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Too far away.
You could call us at 727-685-5758 or reach us at the firsttsaintpetersburg.org.
I think this is a good opportunity to just really talk about what you guys have going on and opportunities for people in the community to get involved, opportunities for, you know, either corporate organizations, small organizations, or just, you know, somebody like me or Rick, me and Mike, to get involved. If you could just talk about that, that'd be huge. We would definitely want the listeners to get that.
Sure. One thing I want to say before we move on is I want these folks out here to know that Bill is directly responsible for bringing in several hundred children to the game of golf. And a lot of these children are no longer children. They're graduated from college. They're young adults. They're young professionals. And I just want to say thanks, Bill, for bringing these kids along.
Bravo, man.
Bill doesn't like to toot his own horn, but we have another program, and it's a work program. And what we do, at the age of 14, we bring kids in and have them do their first job. We teach them how to work. We teach them about work ethic. A lot of these children, like right here, PGA, he keeps nagging me when he's going to get his first job. Age of 14, we bring kids in to work. And what Bill does for us is he goes out to the community and he secures club donations. And what we do with those club donations, we turn it into a work program. The kids come in, they learn how to clean the clubs, grip the clubs, and what we do, we list them on eBay. So we have an eBay program that helps fund our program. So Bill was mentioning dollars. You don't really need to do dollars. If you can just help Bill secure golf clubs, we can keep things moving along.
I have a nice set of TaylorMades. I'm honest to God giving to you guys. I'll figure out how to get them to you. Hey, I got it before we wind up. Is Tiger Woods going to win the PGA next week, PGA? Is he going to win?
Yes.
You heard it right here. Call your bookies in Vegas. PGA's got Tiger Woods shocking the world. Hey, if Lefty could do it at 50, Tiger Woods can do it. Gentlemen, I appreciate you coming down today very, very much. I applaud the passion you have in the youth of America. He knows that's my thing, from the peewees, the preps, the pros, positive participation. And that's what we need in America. And we need guys like you, Bill, helping out, and you changing your career to do this. I applaud you.
Donate a club, help a kid. The club donations any day. Come by Twin Brooks Golf Course, 3800 22nd Avenue. Sit. Make a difference.
Is that the par 3 course?
That is the par 3.
That's right? The one. That's the one that Betts told me to get over to stay away from the rest of his tracks. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming down, young man, and good luck in school. And
thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime. Big O will come pick you up.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, you be his chauffeur, and then I'll throw him on the air.
I don't think I'm good enough to be his chauffeur. That guy's got me beat.
All right, I'm going to switch gears now. We're going to talk a little PGA. I'm going to get a hold of John Rieger. Of course, John has been waiting patiently for us, but this was a great segment. These are the kind of things we're going to continue to do. As I mentioned last week, we're at the Children's Miracle Fund event, and the beauty of that was they generated $6,000 for a youngster with the Children's Miracle Fund, and here we just got done talking on the tee, and I know John Rieger certainly has been involved in a lot of events like this. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning.
Just got done talking to First Tee of St. Pete, and they're doing some fabulous things down here. Very impressed with these gentlemen that brought one of their youngsters down. His nickname is PGA, and his favorite players, he's 11. His favorite players are Tiger Woods and John Daly. Now, he could hang out with us.
That's true. Yeah, I have a little insight into the First Tee. I served for a couple of years as an executive director of a First Tee chapter, so know all about the organization. It's a great organization that's undergone quite a few changes the last few years from a financial standpoint to make sure that each chapter is a viable chapter and can sustain itself and things. And I know that First Tee chapter down in St. Petersburg is one of the older ones, and my good friend Jeff Hollis had a lot to do with the establishment of that years ago, and so I'm glad to hear that things are going well.
Well, here's a Hollis story for you. I went to Western Kentucky University 100 years ago, and so did he. I didn't know him. I was on the track team. He was on the golf team. But you golfers, you always had all the women around you and driving the fancy cars, and we were running everywhere. But so I go meet him in Mangrove Bay, and
started having conversations and realized we both went to the same university. Great guy. He just retired.
That's what I heard. That's fantastic. He must be getting pretty old to retire, like me.
Yeah. Well, I'm the oldest of the gang, and I'm not ready to retire, neither are you. Well, you're probably ready to hang it up. That, on a personal note, how you doing after this this moving project that you just got accomplished? Well, you don't accomplish it for about a year.
Well, you know, with seven kids, you know, and living in a house, you become the great accumulator of stuff. And so, you know, we knew we had to pare down because we're just a little two-bedroom condo on the beach. So my man cave disappeared, obviously, and half of my wardrobe, if you call it a wardrobe, I guess, and all the things you have to do. So I've been giving stuff away. I gave junior golf in Gainesville a ton of golf clubs and golf balls and golf bags. I even gave them a lot of my old golf trophies there so they could just recycle them. And so it's been quite a move. I mean, it's time you go from a house to a condo. So you have to, things, you know, my terminology was things have to make the cut. So, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, I really don't need that. I'm just, I'm going to donate it or sell it or whatever. And we've been doing that for a couple months now just to try to get it all in the car and get it all on the truck and get it in the storage and get it in the condo. So as of last night, we officially now have our home base over here at the beach.
Well, I did that several years ago. But the sad thing about guys like you and I, you know, we've been in the sports world, you've been in the golf world, and I'm not married now. You had someone looking over your shoulder. Those items that have, you know, emotional equity in them for you, you're looking at those babies, you're like, I can't get rid of that. But hell, you got to get rid of all this stuff. And I went through that, and I'm in a little, very small beach bungalow, but I'm in heaven, and everything's condensed now. You'll get used to it, my man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, we got a big tournament coming up next week, the PGA Championship.
What did you think about Lefty's decision here at the last minute?
You know, I read an article about that the other day. I think it was Golf Digest had something where one of the columnists there said that it's a sad day. It's sad for the PGA because, I don't know, he must be under some sort of double secret probation by the PGA Tour or something to not go play in the PGA Championship. And I know that they call it the five families. I don't know if you're familiar with this term or not, but
no.
The RNA, the USGA, the PGA Tour, PGA of America, you know, the leading organizations in golf, they call them the five families, and the Masters, those are the five families that kind of control the game of golf. And it seems like even though that the PGA of America owns and operates and runs the PGA Championship, it appears that, you know, the five families, the members of the five families all just kind of like are all working together where he's probably not welcome to play anywhere, except Saudi Arabia. So I don't know how this is working. The full story's not out, but one of the things that was sad, he didn't commit a crime of any sort. So he didn't, you know, he didn't wreck his car or, you know, have 12 girlfriends on the side or, you know,
what's that,
all kinds of crazy stuff.
What's that,
you know,
reference to?
I don't know. But, you know, there's a player in the field that did that, you know. And so I don't know what this true story is behind it, but I think that there must be the five families, the golfers saying, hey, you know, you still have to stay away for a while. But he didn't. He made some comments. Yeah, you know, not that everybody's agreed with the comments he's made, certainly not. But you're entitled to have comments in this, in, you know, the great United States. He's been canceled.
Well, this is a canceled culture.
He needs to come back. He needs to come back, unless there's something else out there we all don't know about that he's laying low on. I'm not sure what that is, but it's a shame. It's a shame. For a while there, you know, especially during the pandemic and stuff, and after he won the PGA Championship, you know, he was, you know, having quite a time on television with his buddies and, you know, and playing those made-for-TV golf events with Tom Brady and Charles Barkley and all that kind of stuff. And you know, now he's just kind of like a recluse. So I'm not sure what it is. He lost a lot of money in endorsements, obviously. You know, the woke companies don't want to, you know, have anything to do with them. Whereas some of the other players who wreck cars and have 12 girlfriends. They never lost a dime in endorsements. So I don't know. It's a sad day. It's kind of a hypocrisy or double standard or something's going on. But he's got to have the big time suspension from the tour. When you get suspended by the tour, nobody knows publicly about that, even though everybody assumes. Like John Daly got suspended, obviously, for putting a YouTube video up there of him playing golf without a shirt on at his own golf course in Arkansas drinking beer. That got him suspended by the PGA Tour. Now, he basically, broke the code and said, hey, I'm suspended, everybody. Where there are other players out there, they're suspended for drug use and some other stuff, and you just don't hear about it. They just take their suspension, and they're all of a sudden they're magically back.
We're talking to John Rigg here on the tee down at the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th hole clubhouse, as I look at Tropicana Field. Got a game there today, John, 6:10. You ought to jump in the car one of these days, come down, and I'll give you the royal treatment. It's about, for you, it's about a driver and a pitch and a putt to the front door.
You got it. I'd rather have the Rays treatment than the Royals treatment. Isn't that Kansas City? So I'd rather have the Rays treatment.
Right. Did I say Royals? You know why? I've got a high school team, the Royals, on second hour, and my ADD's kicking in. Hey, let's go back. That's age deficit disorder. Hey, JD, did you see what John Daly did yesterday? Sad. He was playing some good golf. He was 8-under. Double bogeyed 13, double bogeyed 18. So he would have ended up at 4-under. Stricker's on top at 11-under. But he didn't sign his scorecard. He's DQ'd.
Well, it's pretty hard not to sign your scorecard. I mean, it's probably the most basic thing you can do. But I think he just didn't want to come play the next couple of days. It's a Champions Tour, too. So, he didn't want to be there on the weekend. He might have, I know he's a cancer survivor. He's trying, he may have not physically felt well. He may not want to say anything about that. And he just may have been like, hey, I want to go home for the weekend, have a few beers, and watch everybody else on TV. He's a free spirit. So I'm not sure what's going on with it. I remember the first time I took my oldest son for his first PGA Tour event to go see a PGA Tour player live. And so we went to Bay Hill. And that sixth hole at Bay Hills had par five where you have to hit it over the water. And so we get there. We parked on the Charger 9, they call it. They have 3 9 holes, but the 1 9 holes they use for parking during the tournament. Got out of the car, walked right over to the 16. There's John Daly. And like, hey, this is a treat. So John gets up there, and he hits in the water. He hits another in the water. Then he gets it up the fairway, hits another in the water. And he finally gets it on the green up a ricochet off a rock onto the green. Make a long story short, I think he had a 17 on the hole, either 17 or 18. It was like the highest score ever made on the PGA Tour.
Bet your son was impressed.
My son looked at me and goes, damn, I could do that.
Oh, my God. That was your son's first impression.
Yeah, he says, I could do that, Dad. Yeah, he says, that good, aren't you?
About 7 weeks ago, I ran up to Clearwater where he lives, and he plays a skins game every Friday, and we visited. It was during March Madness, and we visited a little bit. His Arkansas Razorbacks had just had a nice win, so he was very cordial, and I had talked to him one time at the John Deere Classic. I took these guys weren't kids, but I took some guys. I said, I'll get you up close. I have my media pass, and he made the turn. It's very hilly. It's on the Mississippi River, and his drive, he launches about 100 yards into a forest. You're not finding it. Second one. Next thing that he launches, his driver all the way into the trees as well. And to sum it up, he didn't finish the round either.
Well, to be a college golfer nowadays with the name, image, and likeness rule that's going on out there, obviously, and football and basketball, you're seeing big paydays for these athletes to go to certain schools and do certain things. I think they have to get their arms around that. The NCAA, in response, they had to do something because, even the state of Florida made it law that you have to have name, image, and likeness for college athletes. Well, so, you wouldn't think golf would be that big of a deal, but it is because his son John III is gone to Arkansas on a golf scholarship. He's a great young player. I mean, he's really good. And guess what? He got a name, image, and likeness deal with Hooters.
I wonder how he got that.
You know, so from dad endorsing Hooters, I mean, that was a natural. You know, there's his son, a couple of Hooters girls, and he's, you know, he's going to represent Hooters. So that's really something. You know, I mean, it's. I can only imagine this where this is going to lead with some college athletes. But now it's creeped into the world of golf.
We talk about it often on my other show, and we've had some experts on, attorneys that represent the NCAA, and as the great Kirk Herbstreit, and I admire anything he says. He said they have opened up a Pandora's box that they're never going to get their arms around. But we'll talk about that. Let's talk golf. All right, so Byron Nelson Classic, course of 56th, and I always get impressed. Back in the day, you know, Byron would be holding court on the 18th, and all the players would come and give their respects. It's kind of like Arnie over in Orlando. But it's just a steeped, rich in tradition. And you see a lot of guys getting ready to head north to Tulsa next weekend on this, and they're just tearing that course up.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if you look at the leaderboard right now, you got three people tied at 15 under going to third round. That's pretty low for a 36-hole lead.
Jeez.
And it's not like they've got a five-shot lead on anybody. I mean, there's, you know, you've got to be in double digits just to be in the top 20. You got to be 10 under par just being the top 20 for the tournament going into the weekend, not necessarily for the tournament itself. Normally, if you were 10 under in a tournament, you have a pretty good chance to be in the top 20 at the end of 72 holes. So, yeah. But it's a golf course that people score on it all the time. You know, they have a lot of fun doing it. It's totally different than what it'll be next week. Next week's going to be a really tough venue. So, but I think that, you know, most of the time, you know, if you're a tour player, and you know, and especially when you start looking at Nicklaus and Woods and you know, Mickelson and all kinds of other tour players, you know, men and women, Annika Sorenstam, they gear their game up for the majors. So sometimes they'll play the week before on a golf course that's just nothing like the golf course they're going to play the majors on, because they're trying to work on their short game. They're trying to, you know, make sure they're game ready. And there's other players that skip it, but you've got a lot of top players in this field the week before. So I think it's just one of those things that it's not too far away from, you know, from Tulsa, and the players feel like this will be a good warm-up for them. And, you know, it's not like they have to travel halfway around the world. It's not like they have to come from Hawaii or something, or the, you know, the PJs on in California, and the last tournament they play in is in South Carolina. No, they're actually pretty close to each other geographically. So I think that's why you're getting, they call these in-between tournaments, where they, you know, where they wedge it in, you know, to beef up the tournament, but sometimes it doesn't always work that way, depending on the location. But since it's so close, I think that's what's attracted a lot of these top players, even though the golf course has nothing to do with what they're going to face next week at the PGA Championship.
John, have you been to Southern Hills before?
Many moons ago, and it's one of the great golf courses out there. You know, I think that Tiger was pretty smart a couple weeks ago. I know we talked about it on one of your shows, was that he actually went there, you know, like a month ago, and actually had the PGA golf professional, the head golf professional there, carry his bag around the golf course as a caddy, but more importantly, just learn from the home pro where everything's at and what to do and what's the strategy this way. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot more tour players really need to start doing that sometimes if they're interested in playing well on the golf course, because there's nobody knows the golf course better than your host PGA golf professional. So he'll know it inside and out. So Tiger did that. That was pretty smart.
Is that protocol typically for somebody of his like to take advantage of flying your own jet in and getting a quick one in with not your own caddy, but with the head pro?
No, not many people do. Not many.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is brilliant, but that's what separates Tiger from the rest of them. Now, obviously, Tiger, he's won before. You know, he won the PGA there in 2007, so, you know, he's, you know, it's been 15 years ago, But he's so, you know, they make changes to these venues all the time, subtle changes. Because, you know, they're not talking about, well, they built a new hole or this, that, and the other. But just like Augusta National has subtle changes from year to year. And so 15 years later, you know, the golf course that he won on is very similar. But there's they may have rebuilt the greens. They may have changed the undulation of the greens. They may have added a new tee somewhere, or the, you know, added length to it or what have you. So those are the things that you have to know the nuances, because it's a fine line that separates the person that's going to win that major championship and somebody who's just going to have a good performance. It comes down to a stroke. If he can save one stroke because he hits it on a certain part of the green that he needs to hit it on at the whatever pin placement it is, based on knowing there's some local knowledge, you know, that could make that one stroke difference. If he hits it to a place on the green where he can't two putt because it's impossible, well, you know, if you know the home course, you'll know what to do. And the caddies know too. The caddies go out there and they survey the golf course and they're there. But your home pro already knows because he hears it from the members who walk in. Hey, on the 14th hole, I hate that green. I hit a perfectly good shot and bounced off into the water. Well, it's probably because the green was undulated that way and they received the ball that way. So the pro already knows the nuances of the golf course because his members will tell him.
Hey, who do you like next week?
Well, you got to go with Tiger. He looks like he's viable. Well, and also, Scottie Scheffler is the hottest, you know, golfer in the world right now, Masters champ. And, you know, he's got multiple wins this year. I mean, he's the hottest golfer. You know, he took a little time off, but he's back. And then, you know, you've got all the world's, you know, top golfers in there. So, I mean, you know, you got Rory McIlroy, who seems to, you know, he's been grinding it out lately. And last week he had a pretty good performance. And, you know, and I always look for, you know, when I start looking at, you know, people who are my favorites, well, you have to look at their performances in majors. And sometimes you have to look at their age. Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, they're going to be contending for sure. So, I mean, you know, but that's just a guesstimate. It's all a guesstimate. Jordan Spieth obviously is another one that would, seems like he's starting to get at the peak of his game there and won at Hilton Head. So anyway, the beauty of it is that, you know, anybody who's in that field, with the exception of a group of players, can win it. Now, this is unusual, too, for most major championships. Since the PGA of America owns and operates this tournament, there are 20 club professionals that are playing in this golf tournament. They qualify by finishing in the top 20 at the PGA of America Club Professional Championship. They call it the Professional Championship. And it's quite an honor. It's quite a week. And these guys are great players.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I had some buddies up in Iowa that got to participate. And I'm glad you brought that up before I let you go, because I know it's near and dear to all you guys that are members of the PGA of America. And I'm looking forward to continued conversations. Go unpack some more boxes, my man, and send me your address. I'm going to send you some more stuff that your wife will throw out. How about that?
Well, I'll have to, yeah. That's just what I need, more stuff. But I'll take it anyway. I can re-gift it like they do at Seinfeld.
Do that, would you? It's a branding mechanism for me. All right, John Rieger, I always appreciate you coming on and bringing some wisdom to this hack on the mic, and I look forward to us getting together again sometime.
All right, take care. Talk to you next week.
All right. As we wind down things here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, I want to thank the Big O, Oscar Garner III, for a superb job, again, bringing down the the first tee of St. Pete, and I'll tell you what, that PGA, Kishon was a cute kid. Bill Darling, Rick Waltman.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.